Let's pray. Father, may that be true for us. With all the competing noises and all the things that are around here competing for our affections, may you be primary. May our hearts sing no other name but Jesus. And everything else, relationships, job, family, flow out of that. Father, thank you for bringing everyone here who's in this service this morning. Lord, I pray that you would take us just a little further in our relationship with you. Maybe it's just to bring a question that needs to be answered, or maybe it's a commitment that someone makes today. Maybe it's a decision or a choice to follow Christ today, maybe for the first time, or to keep going. Lord, may our hearts sing no other name but the name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We have a children's sermon this morning, so kids, if you would like to come on up here to my left, Pastor Danita is going to come and has an awesome children's sermon for you guys, so come on up. While they're coming, I just want to highlight there are about 90 baby bottles up here on display that many of you contributed either pennies or dimes or nickels or dollar bills or checks in there, so they will be coming to pick those up this week, and we'll let you know how much money came in for Expectations Women's Center, but we're excited about that. So,
hi guys, welcome. I brought some friends along with me today to help us understand something, hopefully it'll work in this service better. I have more of a foundation for my one side here, folks, so let's All right. So I have four friends, and they're hanging from this rope, but we're going to pretend like they're four friends who want to play together. Okay? And Orange says to one of them, to all of them, he said, let's go play. Let's go do something fun. Or I have an idea. Let's see if you guys want to follow my idea. And so Orange says, let's just go back and forth, and let's swing. All right. Well, Red said, yeah, maybe I'll swing along with you. But Green said, totally no, not doing it. Red and Orange kind of swinging together, but Green's like, nah, not doing it. I'm not going to play with you. And Yellow's like, no way. I'm just going to sleep. I don't want to play with you guys. I don't want to do what you want to do. Has that ever happened to you? In your family, and your friends, with your friends, like you want to do something and the rest don't want to do it. And maybe there's one that wants to do it along with you, but the rest, they just don't want to, they don't want to cooperate. So not with your friends, they always want to do what you want to do. Yep, you betcha. But what happens when we don't agree about what we're going to do? What happens? Do we sometimes maybe yell at each other? Yes, we do. Sometimes. Do we ever cry? Because somebody, yeah, sometimes we do. Do we ever cry out there? Sometimes we do. Yeah, I think we do. We cry, we get upset. I know, and then sometimes we kick each other. Oh, okay, and sometimes things happen by accident too. Sometimes we're just having a hard day. Yes. Yes. Well, the Bible has something to say about how we can get along with each other. Okay? And it's found in 1 Peter 5:5 is one place. The Bible has a lot to say, but this is just one verse, guys. And we're going to think about this one verse today. It says, likewise, you younger people, do you think that might be you? Yeah. You're bigger, but who's bigger, you or your mommy and daddy? You. Okay. So we'll let you guys take care of that. Likewise, you younger people, submit to your elders. So who's the elder up here? Is it you guys or me? I am, yes. So you're supposed to do what I say, right? Are you supposed to do what your parents say too? Okay, yeah. Yeah, the Bible says you were supposed to, the word submit, The Bible says that we're supposed to voluntarily we're supposed to agree to do what our elders tell us to do. That's submitting. That's an attitude. That's the right attitude for us to go along with what our mom and dad say we're supposed to do. But then it goes on and it says, yes, all of you should be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So, yes, you guys are definitely supposed to listen to, submit, voluntarily obey your elders, the people who are older than you, because they know a little bit more about life. But sometimes we're also supposed to just submit to each other. Like, if I know that you guys really want to do something, then God knows everything about being a human. That is so true. So true. Yes, he knows everything. And so he told us that we should submit to each other. So two of these balls need to have an attitude adjustment in order to submit to one another. Okay? And this one, he might have been saying, you know, I guess I will be at the same level as these guys. Okay? And this guy says, well, I'm longer, though, and I'm better because I'm longer. Well, that's not really true, is it? So he's going to say, but you know what? I'm going to be at the same level as these guys. Okay? And so when they adjust their attitudes voluntarily, okay, willfully say, I want to be in tune with all of the other balls, then, well, let's hope this works pretty good. When we start swinging, they kind of swing together. And look what happens when Orange realizes that it's not quite swinging where the others are. Look, some of them stop and they try. You can see they're trying to swing together. And Orange stopped, but now Orange is going to start again. And they're trying to swing together. They really are. They fail sometimes. They aren't doing it perfectly. But when one gets out of sync, then it stops. And it thinks about it. And then it starts swinging again. Okay? And this is what God wants us to do. When we get out of sync with our friends, when we start saying, but I want way, then what we need to do is we need to stop and we need to pray and we need to ask God to help us to agree with others and to let somebody else have their way sometimes. That's called submitting to one another. And in the family, it works really well. So let's pray and then we're going to go back to junior worship. God, thank you so much. Help us to be able to submit to each other, to willfully follow what somebody else wants to do, or willfully obey our parents. Help us, Lord, to follow your word because you know exactly how us humans should live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, welcome back to junior worship with me.
All right, as you guys head back there, we are going to get ready to receive our offering at this point in time. And I also forgot to welcome our guests earlier. So if you're a guest of ours here today, we hope that you stopped at the Welcome Center. But if you didn't, love to point out there's a little connection card here on the far side of the bulletin. We would love for you to fill that out and drop that in our offering plate or in the black boxes in the back of the room when you want. We're going to do something a little bit different today as we think about the offering. We're going to read this scripture together. That's going to pop up on the screen from 2 Corinthians as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth about collecting an offering or about collecting and receiving resources for the church in Jerusalem. So if you would just read this with me, then I'll lead us in prayer. Nikki's going to play while the offering plates are passed as we have an opportunity to focus in on worship through giving this morning. So just read this with me. They exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. Since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give. I think of these bottles over here on my left that are going to go to help meet the needs of women who find themselves in difficult pregnancy situations, difficult parenting situations, and dads who don't really know what to do either. Lord, I pray for expectations. Thank you for folks here who've given so sacrificially. And thank you for this money. And Lord, as we give, or as we just think about giving, as we think about our lives being an offering to you, may we recognize that when we first give ourselves to you, when our heart sings the name of Jesus above all names, then we're in the right place to use not only our money, but also our time and our resources and our gifts and abilities to serve you. May we be living sacrifices, totally devoted to you. In Jesus' name.
Pastor Crazy is crazy.
Okay, what did Pastor Carter do now?
He said we should be slaves to our husbands.
Did he reference the Bible or Sports Illustrated?
Okay, he did reference something in Ephesians about submit yourselves to your husbands.
And that makes me your father's slave?
No, you and Dad are different. He loves you and treats you better than that.
Do you agree that we are to submit to God's authority?
Yes, but that's also different. God doesn't treat us like slaves. He loves us. Besides, he is the ultimate authority.
Yes, and he placed your father in the authority of the family. As the wife, I am to submit to the authority of the father because God asked me to. I am blessed that your father loves me. And like your father, or like God, your father has our best interest in mind.
I wouldn't go that far. I make my share of mistakes. But I'm responsible to God for my misuse of his authority. God isn't asking us to do anything against his will. At the same time, he's asking those in authority to do so, to lead so in love. Like, you know, husbands, love your wives.
Ephesians 5:22 is establishing the order of authority and responsibility within the marriage, not making the wife a slave. Just as God placed us in authority over you, and you are not our slave.
Does that mean we could talk about my chores?
No. Lisa, do you remember when we got our smartphones?
Yes, you couldn't even read the text, and I had to show you how to turn the thing on.
You were the subject matter expert, the authority. Ephesians 5:21 says to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Therefore, I submitted myself to your authority. Did that make me your slave?
No, don't be crazy. Besides, that's different than God asking us to be slaves to our husbands.
God has called us to submit to all kinds of authority that he has established. Some authority is leadership, such as in your father, and some is in subject matter, such as you with the phones. Someday God is going to judge both of us for how we use or misuse our authority.
Okay. Let's pray for Pastor Crazy. Pastor Carter, your father, and all people to whom we should submit.
Thank you guys very much. Yeah. We are in week 3. Of a series of messages called Family Fundamentals, which you can see is represented by the puzzle pieces up here on the board. We've been talking about commitment, and last week we talked about forgiveness, and today we're going to be talking about the idea of submission, which of course was already presented to us by Daniel and Susan and Clarissa. And what we want to do as we go through this whole series of messages, this whole series of things just here in the month of February, is talk about this, that the series identifies 4 words which will help family relationships be positive and productive. Now, you may not think of these certainly aren't the only 4 words that are important in the context of a family relationship, but these 4 words help us to understand some things about the family relationship and how it is that we should work. And so we're going to have the first part of the sermon is kind of focusing on adults, and then the second part is kids. So I'm glad there's lots of kids here today so you can hear what we have to talk about, what God has to say about submission. Just real curious, how many of you kids had to help mom or dad with their smartphone? Does anybody want to raise their hand for that one? You did not, Angela. I knew how to use my smartphone. You put your hand down. All right. Okay, so some of you did. All right, so and that's good. We were willing to submit to you and help you and have you help us what day. So let's just do a bit of review, just real briefly. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the idea of commitment. Brian and Danita shared this idea of there were 3 different levels of commitment. And the way that I like to talk about commitment is that I can be committed to my family because of the investment that I have in them. As we think about these words, we're talking about commitment and forgiveness and submission and next week legacy. And in some ways, these words don't just apply to family relationships. They can apply to other things. We're not just to forgive people in our family. We're to forgive others as well. But there's an intensity that's brought to this when we think about family relationships. And that intensity flows out of the commitment that we make to people in our family. When we get married, if we get married, we decide there's a covenant, there's a commitment that we make to that person that we stand across the aisle from and say, I do. When we have children, there's a new level or a more intense level of commitment to your child than you have to the other children in the nursery. Yours is always the cutest and yours is always the most precious, right? But there are other children in that nursery that are just as precious and just as valuable, but they're not just as valuable to you because you don't have a commitment to them. They're not your child. And so there's a special level of commitment that in family context, whether it's spouse or sibling or parenting, that really ought to motivate us and drive us to try to get it right. To work even extra hard on maintaining healthy family relationships, even above and beyond the relationships that we might have with others, even though sometimes those relationships can be very special and very important as well. So we looked at this idea of commitment, and then last week, well, one more thing. This is just a slide that tells us that God has given us then his Holy Spirit to demonstrate his commitment to us. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So when you trust in Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you as a guarantee, as a deposit, as a commitment, if you would, of this relationship that you now have with God the Father. And so last week we looked at the forgiveness. And out of this commitment that I have to my family, that leads me to both ask for and answer with forgiveness. So I asked you to think about, is there anybody in your family context that you have offended, that you have not yet asked for forgiveness? That is your most fundamental thing that you need to do. Don't worry about if you deserve it. Don't worry about if they're not going to grant it. That just simply ask for it. I believe there's a lot of unforgiveness out there in family relationships because people are just simply willing to ask, unwilling to ask to be forgiven. And then because of the commitment that you have, you should be willing to answer yes with that forgiveness and work through that over time perhaps, but to be willing to have an attitude of expectancy and wanting to say, yes, I forgive you. As part of my family, whether you're my child, you're my parent, you're my sibling, you're my grandparent, whatever the case is, I want to restore the relationship that we once had. And so those are the two words that we looked at over the last 2 weeks. If you weren't here, those things are available on CD. They're available online as well. So another word that's fundamental to the family then is the word submission. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And there's a classic text in the Bible from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. So we're going to look at some verses here which speak to submission and then talk about it as it relates to parents and as husbands and wives and as it relates to parents and children. So let's pick this up in verse 15. And this first paragraph is just sort of an introduction, some things that we need to be doing as followers of Jesus, and then we roll into the submission part. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So a couple of times in that passage, you see the word submit or be subject, which is usually translated the same way. Now, I want to start by saying that the word translated submit is the Greek word hupotasso. The Greek word hupotasso simply means to place under, right? To place under. Now, we don't have a lot of written commentary from the first century when the earlier Bible writers were writing this. They don't have things written down and says, okay, now when I wrote that, this is what I really mean. But in some cases, they leave us drawings or they leave us sketches. And so we have a sketch from the Apostle Paul to help us to understand what he meant by this word submit as it relates to husband and wife. And this is the sketch that he left us. Well, that's not really true, okay? He didn't leave us this sketch. But unfortunately, this is the perception that many people have when we talk about the word submission as it relates to husbands and wives. Many people in the world think that, well, what you're talking about is this kind of a scenario right here, right, where the husband drags around his wife by her hair. But that's not at all what the word means, and that's not at all what we're talking about. Rather, there's a very interesting understanding of this word. The term hupotasso does not apply to value or worth, but it does apply to place or position. So the word does not apply to value or worth. So when the Bible asks the children to submit to their parents, or it asks wives to submit to their husbands, or it asks husbands to submit to their wives and submit to one another, it doesn't speak to value. The person who is in a place of submission is not less valuable or less worthy than the person who is in a position of authority. And we kind of know this intrinsically in other aspects of society. So let me just sort of show it this way. This is a picture of a 4-star general, and he's got lots of stuff on his uniform, right? He's lots of accomplishments, lots of ribbons, lots of medals. A 4-star general is probably, I don't think there are any 5-star generals right now, so the highest ranking officer in the military. This is a picture I got off the internet of just a private. All right, just a newly enlisted person. Do you notice anything different? There's no stuff here, is there? No ribbons, no thing. These two people have very different places or positions in the military. All right, one of them gets a chauffeured car. The other one probably cleans latrines. All right, there's a very much a difference, though, in their place. But is there any difference in the value of the person inside the uniform? Is a person who has 4 stars and has a particular place or position within the military, is this guy of any more value? Is he a better person than the private? No. No. In fact, if we take them outside of the military context, if they were both standing in line for a coffee at Starbucks, it's not like they would be treated any differently at all. To look at them, there's no difference. So submission does not have to do with value. It doesn't have to do with worth. It has to do with place, and it has to do with position in the context that it is found. So as we unpack this a little bit more, an important aspect of submission is what Daniel and Susan already shared with us and Clarissa, is that it is mutual, right? Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Danita read from 1 Peter chapter 5 when she talked to the children this morning. All of the Christian life is about submission, right? There's no one in the Christian life who says, okay, I am the top banana. Everybody else submits to me. I get to do everything that I want to do. I get to make all of the rules. No, it doesn't work that way. All right, the whole concept of the Christian life is submitting to one another, doing the things that God would call us to do. And then in relation to marriage, the submission of a wife to her husband must be viewed in the specific context of marriage. It's not some sort of overall caveat that all women submit to all men in all situations and circumstances. That's not what the Bible is teaching. Just like the general and the private are the same people in Starbucks, right? Though my wife has a requirement to submit to me, she doesn't have a requirement to submit to any of the other guys in the congregation in terms of unless she's put herself in a place under in a team or something like that. It's not like women are second-class citizens. Now, here's what we have to understand, though, as we think about this, because we bristle against it sometimes, and culture bristles against it, yet the Bible repeats this over and over and over again. So in 2016, we have this idea, well, do we just reject it? Do we just say, no, that's just sort of old language. That's not really what God has in mind. Or is there something that God is communicating to husbands and wives that we had better get right if we really want to experience everything that God has for us? So we read these words, wives, submit to your husbands. What does that mean? Well, one of the things it means is that a husband bears primary responsibility for the marriage relationship. So guys, as God looks at your family, God looks at your marriage, you bear the primary responsibility for that relationship, both spiritually and relationally. That's what the Bible went on to say, and we read, it says, the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Jesus is responsible for the bride. Jesus is responsible for the church. You guys are responsible. That doesn't mean that your wife may not make mistakes. I'm sure she does, though probably not as many as you do. But it doesn't mean that she doesn't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that she's not, you know, she isn't blamed part of the responsibility, especially if there's been a failed marriage. It doesn't mean that you know, you're the only one that made any mistakes. But primarily, men bear the responsibility and authority for the family. That's the way God has established it. It doesn't have anything to do about value. It doesn't have anything to do about worth. But it has to do with the hierarchy that God has set up. And men, you need to understand that and accept it. It's not okay for you to say, well, my wife has to submit to me. So in submission, I'm just going to say, you know what, honey, you know, you deal with all these other issues. I just really want to check out. I want to watch a ball game, whatever. You deal with it. No, you can't do that. You don't have the ability to do that, at least under God. Another thing that I want to point out is that the sacrificial standard of comparison to Jesus eliminates any sanction of abuse or lording it over a wife. You can't drag her around by her hair. All right? The Bible says that the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Jesus was not authoritarian. Jesus did not lord it over the church. Jesus was not in for what this brought him. The example, which is such an incredibly difficult example, or such a high example that all men fail to live up to, is the example of Christ's love for the church. And in that context, and in your mutual submission to your wife, there is no way, no wiggle room for you to be able to say, it's my way or the highway. You do what I say. I'm the boss. That doesn't fit the context of everything that the scripture says. Now, the struggle comes is when we don't do those roles, when we don't fulfill the roles. I mean, when a husband decides, you know what, I'm just not really interested in spiritual things, for example. You know, honey, you take care of it. I'm not interested in that. You're more inclined spiritually, so you just go ahead and do it. And sometimes, ladies, sometimes you have to pick up the ball. Sometimes you have to run with it in some way, shape, or form. But here's what I want you to think about. If that's where it doesn't negate the idea of submission. All right, it doesn't negate the idea of submission. As with forgiveness, a proper attitude is important for both spouses. You remember last week we talked about how the father was looking for the son to come back, the son who had wasted all of his inheritance and with prodigal, wasteful living and was coming back asking for forgiveness. And we said that the Bible says that the father was looking for his son. He was looking for him with an attitude of expectancy, an attitude of forgiveness. One of the ways in which I think that ladies, that you can work with this idea of submission, even if your husband isn't doing the things that he needs to do, is to maintain a proper attitude about that in the context of that relationship. In other words, you may have to pick up some things that God really wouldn't have you to pick up. You may have to lead out in some ways in which God really wouldn't desire for you to have to do that. But how you respond when you do that might be very important to God working in your husband's life and bringing him back to where God wants him to be. So if you do that with an attitude of resentment, or you do it with an attitude that he knows that you're picking up this ball and running with it, but you really, really know that it's not right and that you really resent him for that, that's not going to want to make him come back. Right? The father looked out, saw him, and ran and grabbed him. Are you praying for your husband to pick up that ball that he's dropping in your life, in your marriage, in your relationship, spiritually, financially, physically, whatever it might be? That has with it this idea of submission, being subject to your husband. I hope that we understand what, and I don't have enough time to really talk about this all encompassing, so maybe I'm just generating some more questions for some of you, and we certainly would love to do that. We'd love to answer those questions, but this idea is that it has nothing to do with worth or value, but has everything to do with place and position. Now I want to talk to the kids. All right, talk to the kids. How many kids do we have? We've got kids over here. This is awesome. So many good kids. All right, here we go. Children have a responsibility to submit to their parents. All right, children have a responsibility to submit to their parents. If we go on in chapter 6 of Ephesians, we read this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. Right? Now, the word obey there has the same root as the word submit. So it could just as easily say, "Children, submit to your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So it's very similar words in the New Testament. So here's one thing. I just want you kids to understand this, okay? Number one, your parents are wiser than you. All right? Your parents are wiser than you. If you don't believe that, you're just wrong, okay? Now, there might be an exception, a rare exception, where, you know, mom or dad, as I heard Danita say the other day, that the chimney or the bricks don't quite go to the top of the chimney. There might be one of those situations here, and as I was telling us in the first service, if that's an issue for you, just go see Pastor Kay. He'll help you figure it all out. But for the 99.9% of the cases, kids, your parents are wiser than you are. You need to believe that and then use that to your advantage. All right? This is not rocket science, okay? Your parents are wiser than you are. Use it to your advantage. And here's something that I want you to think about. Sometimes when you say, "I want red beets," okay, they might go to the picture in the top left, all right? And you might be thinking the picture in the bottom right. So we're not necessarily smarter in all aspects of technology and everything out there in the world. But in general, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, aunts and uncles are wiser than you. And that's a resource that God has given you and wants you to take advantage of. Now, let me share something else with you. The way you feel about your earthly father or mother, the way you feel about your earthly father or mother parallels the way that your earthly father or mother feels about God. I don't know if you thought about this or not, but many times, and I won't ask you for specific examples here, but I'm sure that most of you kids have at some point in your life, or maybe it happens almost every week, have wondered to yourself, why is he doing this? Why are they doing that? Why are they not allowing me to go here? Why are they not allowing me to have this friend? Why are they not allowing me to spend my money this way? Why are they not allowing me to do that? Why are they causing this to happen in my life? Why is it, right? Right? You've all thought that, right? Guess what? All of us old people have thought the very same thing as it relates to our Heavenly Father. I mean, if you've been a follower of Jesus, maybe it's just me, but I routinely ask God, why are we doing this? Why is this opportunity not where it ought to be? Why is this happening in my life? You know, as I came back from the Dominican and spent those first 2 days lying on the couch sick, I questioned, I'm like, what's the purpose of this? Why am I going through this? Is there a lesson here that I need to understand, God? Is there something about sickness that you're trying to teach me? Many times I don't get any answers to those things. I don't know why God doesn't heal people that I pray for him to heal. I don't know why God doesn't heal relationships that I pray for him to relate with. I don't know why God puts some of the situations and circumstances in my life that I would never have signed up for and that I don't enjoy. I don't know why that happens. But as I relate to my Heavenly Father, I say to him, okay, I trust you. I will walk down this path with you because I know that you are smarter and wiser than me. And so, kids, as you think about that as it relates to your parents, I want you to understand that we feel the very same way, and you will one day too, as it relates to God. But I know God is wiser than me, so I'm going to trust him. And I want you to know your parents are wiser than you, so obey them. Follow them. Here's another way to think about this, maybe in a more lighthearted way. When your mom says to stay away from that guy, it is because she knows your dream boat is likely to turn into a deadbeat. Okay? So when mom or dad say, no, that's not the guy for you, but you know he is because he's your dream boat, it might very well be that your mom once thought that she had her dream boat. Hopefully they're not married at this moment, and he turned into a deadbeat. And so she knows, or he know, your parents know. They say, hey, honey, stay away from that. Him. Stay away from him. Stay away from that relationship. It's not helpful for you. It's because they've been around the block and gained wisdom. All right? Your dad may have lost his hair, but he's gained wisdom. Okay? Do you get this, kids? Again, this is not... You know, I wasn't thinking about you in particular, Ryan, but you're right. With everything that I want you to communicate, again, this is not rocket science here. Kids, your parents are wiser than you are. Listen to them. Obey them. God has given them to you as a gift. And then one more final thought. Disobeying your parents means disobeying God. It's sin. It's like, well, I'm just disobeying mom and dad. I'm not doing anything to God. Oh, yes, you are. You are disobeying God by disobeying your parents. And I don't think that you want to rob yourself of that kind of blessing. One more thought. Do you know that Jesus submitted to his parents? Isn't that interesting? The Bible doesn't give us a lot of detail about Jesus' life between about age 2 when the wise men came to visit and then age 30 when he bursts onto the scene as the Messiah's public ministry. But here in Luke chapter 2, we see that Jesus, when he was around 12 years old, he stayed behind at the temple to talk to the rabbis and the religious leaders. And it says when he, Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So see where it says there, Jesus was subject to them. Now he's God in the flesh. He's the perfect 12-year-old. And yet the Bible says he was subject to his parents. Kids, You might be the most wonderful child in the world. You're not God. You need their wisdom. You need their help. And not obeying means robbing yourself of God's blessing. And when you're 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and you don't obey, most of those consequences are short-lived. But when you start hitting 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18 and you still choose to disobey your parents, I can almost guarantee you, you're going to walk into consequences. They're going to last. And if we were to pool the collective wisdom of all of the moms and dads here and all the collective experience, we would tell you stories of how we don't want you to experience the things that we had to go through because we didn't listen and because we didn't submit. Maybe you'd like to talk more about this. You can check boxes in the connection cards. So glad for some of the people that turned in some cards last week about forgiveness, and we were able to communicate via email and pray. And so maybe, you know, maybe you just need to pray. Ask somebody to pray for you that you'll submit to those in your family as it's needed. Or maybe you'd like to talk about this whole topic a little bit more. Maybe it just raised more questions than it provided any answers. We're here to help you. Submission is incredibly important to get down for the strength and health of your family. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the time today. And I pray specifically for dads as they understand the concept of submitting to one another, and yet also having this mantle of authority and responsibility and leadership in the home. I pray for the men who are here this morning that are under what I believe is satanic attack. Satan does not want that to go well in the family. I pray that none of them would want to lord it over. None of them would look at the Bible and say, oh, yep, submit to get my own way. But rather they would see that example as Jesus' role with the church, who willingly laid down his life for the church. I pray for the ladies that are here this morning who are submitting and who are it's just working, and I pray that it just continues to work. Because again, I know Satan does not want that to happen. He will attack it. I pray they just keep persevering, keep on keeping on. And I pray for those who are having to carry more responsibility than really God would desire them to carry. I pray that their attitude is not one of rebellion and not one of rejection toward their husband, but rather one of anticipation of God's activity in his life. Prayer. And I pray for the kids that are here this morning. God, what a precious gift it is to be a child growing up in America. What opportunities that they have that 95% of children around this world would never even dream of having. And yet with all that opportunity comes temptation. I pray, God, that you would instill in each one of the kids here this morning a desire to follow you. To understand that to reject the wisdom of mom and dad or grandma and grandpa is really to reject you. And though we inevitably butt heads all the time, and we don't know whether red beets are things you eat or things you put on your ears sometimes, just as you love us, I pray that all the children would understand how much those in authority over them love them and care for them. And maybe today would be a day when some of our young people would say, you know, I really do need to submit to mom and dad. Father, wherever we are, it's a privilege to be able to submit to you, follow you, to obey you, to trust you. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.